الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه والصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We all praise, we all glorify and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all send our peace and blessings and salutations upon the noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us steadfast and guides us and forever remains with us and protects us and pardons us in the dunya and also in the hereafter. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers us all together again on the day of Qiyamah in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Today is a very, very beautiful day because it is in a beautiful month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month, as we all know, is a sacred month, the month of Muharram, and the day of Jumu'ah is a sacred and blessed day given to the Muslims that we celebrate each and every week. And we also have two beautiful events that took place in this particular month, or events that are commemorated and remembered in this particular month, which is the event of Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram, and also the event of the Hijrah, even though it did not necessarily take place in this month. Nevertheless, they are two important things that we will discuss today. And these two events in this particular month, on this particular day, bring together two distinct and ulul azm prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, namely Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to remind us of a very sacred connection and a relationship between the two prophets and also between the two nations, and reminding us two particular distinct events. Therefore, those who reflect on these two events and these two prophets, and also remember the life and the stories and the principles of these particular events, receive a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for we are indeed in the nafahat, in these beautiful moments given to us by Allah azza wa jal in the month of Muharram on this particular day. And I'll very, very quickly today talk about those two events and how they are not just two separate events, but rather they are interconnected with one another. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he entered into the city of Yathrib and illuminated it and made it into the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara, he found that the Jewish community at that time were fasting. And he asked them, "Why are you fasting?" And they responded, "By that we are fasting in gratitude, in shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." For what particular reason? Because it is on this particular day, in this particular month, that Allah azza wa jal granted victory to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and thereby he protected the community of Musa, of the Jewish community, and he protected us from the onslaught of Fir'aun. So after they had explained this to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even though he knew this, but it was a necessary means to educate the people that were around him, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied that نَحْنُ أَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ, and in another narration, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ, that we have a far greater right, We are more closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and we love Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam far more than you can ever imagine. And this is incorporated within the glorious Quran as well, where we say, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ, that we do not differentiate between the prophets. Why? Because they all had the same message calling on to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prophets of Allah azza wa jal were all connected together. They were there as brothers, even though their parents, their mothers were different. So the Jews said at that time, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reinforced this to the Sahaba, that we must also celebrate the victory of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And thus he commanded, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam commanded the Sahaba ikram to fast on the 10th of Ashura in recognition and in commemoration and gratitude to the Savior of Musa alayhi salam and his nation. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam also said that if I see the following year, that I will also fast the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. And this is why Muslims now, we also fast on the 9th and the 10th, which is Thursday, and today is the 10th of Ashura, or you fast today and combine that with tomorrow, the 10th and the 11th. So this is just the background of why the month of Muharram is important, because the day of Ashura and the event of Ashura took place closely connected to the life and the resilience and the courage and the sacrifice and the conviction of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And then we'll see how it's also connected to the Hijrah. So as I mentioned at the offset, that the Hijrah and the Ashura are not two separate events, even though they may seem like it, but rather they are deeply connected together. And what connects them and combines them together is one simple Arabic word, which we will inshallah al-aziz elaborate upon, which is al-ma'iyyah. Al-ma'iyyah, this is the word that I want you to remember today. This is that particular thing that ties them together. And what that basically means is, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with? Ma'a in the Arabic language means to be with someone. You are with, to be with your family, to be with your friends, to be with a particular organization. You always have this particular sense of support and aid, etc. So al-ma'iyyah, this is that one thing that connects the hijrah to the Ashura. So the question that we have for all of us today, including myself, that whom is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and aid with? Because we all say, Allah is with me, Allah's favor is with me, Allah's bounty is with me. We always make this claim. But the question is, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly with you the way that you claim? Can you actually qualify your particular claim? And then after that, you need to ask yourselves, that are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what qualities do you have that bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closer to you, or rather brings the support and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closer to you? So this is something that I want us all to reflect upon today, that ma'iyyah, are you truly with Allah? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly with you? And if you are with Allah, then how do you qualify your particular statement? So if you read the entire Qur'an, you'll only find two distinct occasions in the entire Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His ma'iyyah, being with someone in a very, very intimate and an active and present manner with a person or with a people in these two particular instances. And this is what we will talk about today very quickly, and these are called al-ma'iyyah al-khasa, that these being specific and intimate and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these two incidents, as I mentioned, they are related to the Ashura, the Savior and the protection of Musa alayhi salam and his nation, and also the Savior and the protection of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at the point of the Hijrah. So we'll quickly unpack these two particular events to find out how the ma'iyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with Musa alayhi salam and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the final moment of being pursued by the army of Fir'aun. And we all have heard the story multiple times, how Musa alayhi salam was brought up in the court, in the family, in the home of Fir'aun, and then how he grew up, and then how he was exiled, and then how he returns back to take away the Jews from the tyranny of Fir'aun, and all of those incidences that took place. But we fast forward to that particular event when Musa alayhi salam is there going away with his nation, trying to escape Fir'aun and his army, and the army are there. They carry and they're trying to catch up with Musa alayhi salam. So the danger is there and it is real. And the death is absolutely imminent. Why? Because they are there at the point where they can't swim. And they don't have any boats. There's no point of return. And behind them, there's hundreds and thousands of people there on their carriages, on their horses, with spears, with swords, and so many things. So the danger is real. And the death is absolutely imminent. And therefore, the qawm of Musa alayhi salam, they believe that this is the end for them. This is the end of the Jews. So they give up. They put their hands up and they say, "Inna lamudrakun," that's it, you know, that's the end of us. But even at this particular time where death is imminent and there's no other seemingly savior or protection or aid or support, nobody seemingly is with Musa alayhi salam or with the qawm of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam at that time, he responds, "Kalla, never, this can never ever happen. Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. Indeed, my Lord, that ma'iya, he is with me." He had this conviction, this deep conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me and he will surely guide me. And then we read from this particular verse that fa'awhayna. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Musa alayhi salam. And this fa here in the Arabic language is the fa al-fawriya, which basically means the immediate fa. There was no separation. As soon as Musa alayhi salam makes this statement that indeed my Lord is with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately replies and responds to Musa alayhi salam and says, "Yes, I am with you. Don't worry. You strike your asa and see what happens." And we know the story that takes place. So this is the one particular instance where the ma'iyya khasa, that specific, that's closeness, that intimacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there with the Prophet of Allah azza wa jal, namely Musa alayhi salam. And the second time that ma'iyya khasa is there again in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and they are doing and performing the hijrah. They are trying to leave the boundaries of Makkatul Mukarrama and they go there in Ghari Thawr. And then they are there at the top of the mountain and there is no escape. There's no right, there's no left, there's only down. And they can hear, they can with their own ears hear the footsteps of the Quraysh. The footsteps of those people who are there trying to capture them, trying to kill them. And they can physically see the feet of these individuals who have been tracing them. And they know that they have only come with one intention and one intention only, which is to kill the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and kill Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. So in those moments again, as you can see, you can compare the two moments of Musa alayhi salam and his nation, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and the entire nation which was encapsulated within Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. In this particular moment again, they can see the enemy. They know that the danger is real and that death is also imminent as well. All these people need to do after climbing hundreds and hundreds of of feet up on the mountain, all they need to do is look down into the cave and they will see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. However, at that time, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, very much like Musa alayhi salam, is at peace. He's at tranquility, he's at ease, and he's not worried or stressed or anxious or any of these things. And he also responds and says to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, that لا تحزن إن الله معنا. That do not grieve, do not worry whatsoever. Why do not worry? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And then Allah again, the fa'al fawriya, فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَةً. Then immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends the tranquility and peace furthermore unto the heart of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, you can see very, very clearly in the entire Quran, these are the only two instances where the ma'iyya al-khasa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ashura and Hijra, what do they actually symbolize? They show and reflect that we, Islam and the Jews, were at a very vulnerable and desperate moments at a particular stage. However, both prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that Allah azza wa jal was with them. They had this conviction within them. Why? Why did they have this complete yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with them? Because they spent their entire lives living and being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they knew that whenever they needed to call on to Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would respond and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be with them. Their devotion and their sincerity made them at peace and at ease within their lives. So this is that ma'iyya al-khasa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the Quran, and how Ashura and the Hijra are interconnected, because they bring together two prophets, and they also bring together two particular instances that show and reflect how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly with people in their time of need. And the reason why I wanted to discuss this today is because previously, last Jum'ah and also during the week, I had two people raise particular questions. And I thought this will be in part an answer to their question as well. One person asked that, I pray really, really hard. And I pray with so much yaqeen and conviction. And I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. However, everything that I am praying for, none of that is coming to fruition. So I have failed, therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not with me. This is a belief that they had. Another person came up and said, well, if Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was right, then why was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not with him? As you can see again, both of these questions go back to ma'iyya. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you when you're asking that question and you're pleading and you're crying? Was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Sayyidina Imam Hussein when he was there in the plain of Karbala? This is a very important question, but we need to really understand, what does with mean? What is ma'iyya al-khasa and what is ma'iyya al-amma? And which we will see that insha'Allah al-Aziz very quickly. So ma'iyya al-amma is a generic being with someone. Just like you are there with your parents, you're generically there with your parents, they're not with you every step of your life. Your parents, your grandparents are there, they know that you exist, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are with you every single moment of your life. And depending on how much time that you spend with your grandparents or your parents or the people that you work with, that is how much they will reflect in terms of being there for you, listening to you, supporting you or aiding you. It depends on the quality of the relationship that you have with your friends or your family. Sometimes when somebody is in trouble, and one of my students was telling me, Stadi, I was in trouble, I called my friends and said, don't worry, we've got your back. We're coming, we'll sort out X, Y, and Z. This is them being with somebody or having with some friends to be with you in times of need. So we're coming back to the ma'iyya al-amma. What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you or not? And how do you know if Allah azza wa jal can be with you? And there are three things that we need to keep in mind in order for us to understand when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us in the generic sense and also in the specific sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, without a doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people of sabr, ma'a sabirin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who are muhsinin, ma'al muhsinin. Inna allaha ma'al ladhina attaqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. So these are the three things that I want you to keep in mind for you to understand whether Allah is with you or not and how He is with you. So when believers face desperate moments, personal trials and tribulations and difficulties within their lives, or they have particular questions that come to their mind and they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them, they need to first go and check that, have they got that taqwa? Have they got that sabr? and have they got that ihsan with them, then only then can they actually assume or believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with them. Because Allah azza wa jalla, in a generic sense, is with every person. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ مَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Yes, He is with every single being, but not that khas, that intimate and that one-to-one, but rather in a generic sense. But that doesn't necessarily mean just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, His aid or His support or is with you either. So this is something that we need to understand. So if you want anyone to be with you in your life, for example, you want your MP to be with you, you want your family to be with you, you want your friends to be with you, you want anybody to be with you, to support you, etc., then you first and foremost need to be with them. It's simple. You know, if you don't spend time with me, why would I want to spend time with you? If you don't have the values that I have, why would I want to spend time with you? Even though I know all of you, if some of you, you know, were taking drugs or alcohol, etc., would I want to be with you? Not necessarily. So this is something that we need to ask ourselves, that if you want to be with someone, then you need to make sure, so if you want anybody to be with you, then you need to make sure that you are with them. And in order for them to be with you, you need to show certain qualities that want them to be with you. Nobody wants to sit with a druggie. Nobody wants to sit with a homeless person. Nobody wants to sit with a person who causes domestic violence. Nobody wants to sit with anybody or be with somebody, support with somebody. People don't even want to sit next to PTI or MNA. People don't want to sit next to Labour or Conservatives, let alone other people, you know, of different things. So everybody has different values. So based on your principles, based on your values, based on your ethics and your morals and your character and the quality of your faith, you will be with certain people and certain people will be with you. And this is the same rule that we have to apply with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to ask yourself, do I have those qualities that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to be with me? That is how it comes down. You can't have this default assumption, Allah is always with me. Why? Because I'm a Muslim. If you don't have taqwa, if you don't have iman, if you don't have sabr, if you don't have ihsan, any of these things, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you? Why? Tell me. How have you qualified yourself? Why would the Prime Minister of the UK come and sit with you here today? Why? You have to have something in order for them to want to be with you. Why would you want to be with somebody? Sometimes in football, in sports, in cricket, etc., the winners, they always generally say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with us. And that is why we succeeded. That is why we won. I read this dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with me and we succeeded. But this is a wrong assumption. This is a wrong type of mindset to take when you are, you know, thinking about, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you or not? Because believers, we Muslims, we mu'mins, we don't measure whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us or not by the outcome of our victory or by the outcome of our defeat. This is not the criteria. Oh, if we win, then Allah is with us. If we lose, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not with us. No, this is a very worldly mindset. You know, Imam Hussein, supposedly in the worldview, lost. But does that mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not with him? Many other circumstances in your own personal lives as well. So how do we measure how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us or not? We look at the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has mentioned in the Quran. And again, you can see three qualities which are repeated by Allah azza wa jalla. I am with those people, ma'al muttaqeen. I am with those people who have true taqwa. Taqwa means that you keep away from all haram. You keep away from all lagh. You keep away from all forms of jahiliyyah. You keep away from all forms of negativity, of toxicity, of anything which is disapproved or disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is where you protect yourself for the sake of Allah azza wa jal at all times. Not just taqwa when you come to Jumu'ah, not just taqwa when you come in the month of Ramadan, or the month of Zulhijjah, or the month of Muharram. That's not taqwa. No, if you want to be with Allah Azza wa Jal, you have to be with Allah 24 hours a day. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you in your time of need, In your desperate time of need, where have you been when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was waiting for you and your taqwa? Where were you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trialing you and testing you, putting you through so many challenges? Where was your sabr? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that I am with those ma'as sabireen. I am with those who do ihsan. So if you do not have that taqwa, and if you do not have that sabr, that true sabr in your life, and neither do you have that ihsan within your life, then don't assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically in a khas way, in an intimate, personal way, is with you. He will be there in a generic way, just the way your grandparents are living somewhere in Pakistan or anywhere else. They are there in the background, but they're not necessarily with you every single step of the way. You want Allah to be with you the way that He was with Musa alayhi salam, the way that He was with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then look at their lives, that not even for tarafat a'in, not even for a blink of an eye did they ever forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that they did was always with taqwa, with always with sabr, with always with ihsan, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. We live our lives for ourselves, and we lean on to people, and we expect them to support us when we need. But the real person who can only help us is Allah azza wa jal. But we don't have any of these qualities, so why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid you and support you, give you that ma'iyya al-khasa? Somebody asked me for a character reference, and if I know they do not have the correct character, I will not give them that character reference. Somebody asked you to go to court and testify on somebody's behalf, and you know that they've done something wrong, you would not go and testify on their behalf because it's a legal thing. And how is it when we do not have that taqwa, or that sabr, or that ihsan, that we assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us? So we cannot disobey Allah azza wa jal and claim all the time that Allah is with me. We cannot be impatient in the face of all of the trials and tribulations and then claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. You cannot be ungrateful and then claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. You cannot turn around and question, why did I not receive this, and then claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. You cannot also assume the opposite of this as well, that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who martyred Imam Hussein, or the people of Badr, or the people of Uhud, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the crusaders, or the tyrants, or the killers of innocent people. Because our mindset here in the world is, you're either with me or you're against me. But this is not how it works with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to be with Allah azza wa jal, prove your taqwa, prove your sabr, prove your ihsan, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you. So He was there everywhere, but He is there specifically with you when you yourself show taqwa, show sabr, and show ihsan. So Muslims, we do not measure our outcome of victory or defeat by, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with me or not, but we measure it by our taqwa, by our sabr, and by our ihsan. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to increase in our taqwa, increase in our sabr, and also increase in our ihsan, and constantly be mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be with us, but we have to make sure we have those qualities that want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us. And then when we need to call out to Allah azza wa jal, the way that Musa alayhi salam and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi salam did, in our time, desperate time of need, know that Allah Azza wa Jal will also respond to us. We need to develop that ma'iyya khasa with Allah Azza wa Jal. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah.